Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We'll routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. The many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
The Terrible. All rise for the King, to fill the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
saying wrong. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Tracks deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Union, South Alabama, and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Hello, everybody. It's old King Shazuz the Terrible out here with my honorable knights here. I'm thinking this is like number 63, Knights of the Round Table 63. Let me run over there and take a peek real quick. So, how you doing there, Cultists? We got Cultists in here, we got Kent, and I think we got Dublin, and we had Muddy, but he ran off.
That's true. I'm well, thanks, mate. How are you this week?
Oh, pretty good.
That's the way.
You told me that I was 48 years old today.
Why, you are the birthday boy, mate. Happy birthday.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You know, it's pretty bad when you got to ask your friend, hey, brother, how old am I?
Happy birthday.
Yeah,
happy birthday, Shazeez.
Thank you very much.
Happy birthday.
I guess I'm 48 years old and still alive, and so I guess that's good. Anytime you're above the dirt instead of being below the dirt, then you're doing well as far as I'm concerned. What do you guys think?
Hallelujah, mate.
Absolutely.
We say in Ireland, you're on the right side of the grass.
Yeah, on above instead of below.
Exactly. So when people ask me what age I am, I don't say that. I say I'm 5'7" dead. They say, what do you mean? I say, well, I'm 50 and you live to 70, so I'm 5'7" dead. They say, well, how does it work when you reach 70? I said, then you say I'm dead. What happens when you reach 80? I said, I'm 10 years dead.
Well, walking dead. Hey, this is Knights. Yeah. This is 963. Number 63. Knight 63.
Woo-hoo.
Yay. We've been around for a minute.
Congratulations. 37 to go, and we've got a pretty big milestone.
Cool.
So, like 100 shows.
Yeah, we got to keep it rolling, brother.
We should have a special show in Las Vegas, Nevada for number 100.
Hey, that'd be cool. I'm hip to that. Do they got penny slots there?
All right. Do they have what?
Penny slots.
I thought you said something flops.
No. You know, like you put a penny in and you pull the lever and the little deals go around, and if you hit all...
They've got them.
Yeah, cool. Anyway, so how you guys doing on your side of the world? We got somebody in Australia. We got a couple people in America. And if Muddy shows back up, we got somebody in America. And Dublin is still over in Spain. Right, Dublin? Dublin?
Unmute your mic.
Unmute your mic, Dublin. It's live.
Yeah, I couldn't get the mic to unmute. Don't ask me why. Yeah, it's great here in Spain. We've had the last month has been pretty sunny weather, warm. Because round about October it gets changeable, but so far we've been lucky.
Now, Dublin, I got to ask you: does the rain in Spain lie mostly in the plain?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Well, I tell you, when it does rain, you get rivers. I've been real big rivers here, like, you know, it's that heavy sort of rain, and it collects, as they say, on the plain, and then I'm down the bottom at the beach, so it has like 4,000 feet to come down, or whatever, 3,000 feet. So by the time it gets to the beach area, it, you know, like, maybe the river has quadrupled in size, and it's coming down through the center of the town and washing away the houses, everything, caravans, you name it. It can get out of hand here at times.
Well, then...
But that sounds like a good YouTube video.
Then we got the perfect thing for you, Dublin. Dublin, we got the perfect thing for you. Cultus and I are putting together a contest for building pop-pop boats for the alternative energy. Now, we want to see somebody build a full-size pop-pop boat, and so you got the perfect spot. If it's going to flood every time you turn around, you might as well take advantage of that extra water and build you a pop-pop canoe, you know?
Yeah, get out of here. Say, Noah's Ark.
You could use one of them little rocket stoves to actually heat your boiler up and well, some people call them putt-putt boats and some people call them pop-pop boats. Whichever way you want to call it, that's what it is. But you can putt-putt across that the rain and the plane falling mainly in Spain place.
It's hard to know because I don't know, can you scale up a pop-pop boat?
Oh, I mean,
it works in a small scale.
You can
What's the biggest pop-pop boat?
Well, I don't know. The Canadians made some pretty amazing ones.
I can't see how big. I can't see why it can't be scaled up. I mean, at the end of the day, all you would need is more heat and bigger pot.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't even have to have... I would estimate you'd probably have to have maybe either quarter or half inch pipe would be perfect for it. You know, anything that can be made on a small scale can be scaled up or scaled down. So,
I'm thinking the propeller boat, you might be looking at like inch pipe, but yeah.
Well, that's possible. You could take your tape measure, measure it up, and then scale it up to where you can actually sit in it, and then go from there.
Yeah.
So, who's good at mathematics? Wake up!
Well, I'm not bad at math, but you generally kind of need some sort of formulas to work with. Most everything in life is formulas. Like, for example, the wings of an aircraft. It's pretty easy to calculate how many pounds or tons or kilos of lift you can generate from a certain wing of a certain size at a certain speed. So, you know, like, but you have to go to the formulas and work it all out.
All right, Dublin, just use the redneck formula because that's going to do you better than the college graduate formula. What you do is you take your little finger and you put it down inside the boat and you measure off how long that, how deep that boat is and how wide it is, and then you go off your finger and then you measure up. You know, okay, my tip of my finger is a quarter inch long, so I'm going to need to add the length of my arm and the tall of my height and all that, and just calculate it that way, man. What do you think? If it fits on your big toe, you got to make it bigger.
You make that sound complicated, Shaziz. Double the boat, double the size of the pipe, twice the amount of heat. Go.
Yeah, there you go. So if you want,
I suspect you're gonna run into an equation which shows that as you double the size, you're gonna need four times the heat.
Well, that's what they're...
You do get funny.
I think Dublin's more correct on the answer there. It's going to take a lot of heat for a bigger pipe, because it takes a certain amount of calories of heat to make the steam basically do a little blivith in there, a little explosion, and it'd take a lot of heat to do that in the size of a 5-gallon bucket.
Well, get you a rocket stove. If one rocket stove doesn't cut it, throw another one in there. What do you think?
Yeah, but you might end up with a boat that has enough fuel to go 100 meters and then run out of fuel, and you cut down half the forest of South America to get there.
Well, maybe, but all you got to do to win the contest is get the boat to move. That's it.
Oh, I know, but I mean, I like formulas before I build things. You know,
does that mean all I have to do is like push off from the shore and it's moving?
Well, as long as you got the pop pop sound in there. I mean, as far as fuel goes,
I can simulate that with a good stereo.
I want to build a pop pop boat and find that in order to get it to go, I got to go and chop down all the bloody forest.
Well, don't.
You know, it's a bit more clever to figure out how much fuel the thing's going to use ahead of time.
Well, I know you're right and everything, but from where I come from, we use strings, once in a while a tape measure and a stick to measure stuff.
I know. I like formulas. I think what we could do with, before we start off the competition, is somebody could build a small version, say twice as big as the boat version, and then a one maybe four times as big, and then from that we can extrapolate. Is the size of the engine linear, as in you double the size, you double the heat? Or is it exponential? You double the size and you quadruple the heat.
Yeah, amplification.
Because,
all right, then let's, then let's use Einstein's energy equals mass times the speed of light squared, and we'll throw a nuke up in there. How's that go?
Yeah, well, maybe that'll do work. You know, like, one way to get a boat to move.
And you won't have to worry about a flashlight because you'll be glowing in the dark on the other side of the river.
Oh, I was going to say that boat's going to move in every direction at once.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's hilarious.
Yeah. Well, here's the answer for you. Okay, so it takes 540 calories to turn 1 gram of water into steam.
All right. So if I get, let's say, 12 dozen donuts from, who's the good donut makers these days?
Ah, Krispy Kremes, man. You get the glazed ones. Them suckers will burn for like a month, won't they?
There you go. If I get 12 dozen Krispy Kremes, has that got enough calories to get us where we're going? I know, there's got to be a wise guy in every crowd.
These people that burst people's dreams, I don't know.
Yeah, can't we all just get along? All right, so when we're talking calories, we could burn coal or wood, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it doesn't matter what you burn.
Did we lose Kent?
I mean, what one kilo of diesel oil... Yeah. One kilo of diesel oil will give you 40,000 kilowatts. It's like watts. Or about... It's like 12 kilowatts. 1 kilo of diesel will give you 12 kilowatts of power. I don't know what that is in BTUs, but...
That's right.
It's an awful lot of...
using calories.
Yeah, in calories. It's a lot of calories, I can tell you.
Well...
I mean, it's maximum power. I mean, then you got losses, you know. Your average car will convert...
How many grams are in a liter of water? A liter of water is 1 kilo, so 1,000 grams.
1,000 grams?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm sorry.
Okay,
I have...
That makes 628 watt-hours of power to turn a liter into steam.
So now we're going to have to factor in the sun, too, because we want to make this this thing solar. We want to use Fresnel lenses to magnify onto a sphere or some sort of device that will... collect heat no matter which direction you're facing, as long as you're not in the shade.
It'd
probably be bigger than the boat.
Man, yeah. This is turning out to be a little bit more probably complicated.
It's going to be a lot complicated when it doesn't scale well. I mean, when you're small like that, you can flash a drop of water pretty quick, but when you try flashing a liter of water, it takes a tremendous amount of power.
Well, I still...
Well, you see, this is what I'm saying. Would you be better off making lots of small micromotors work together? That's why I'm bringing up the issue. You know, instead of trying to flash 1 liter, try and flash 10 small engines with 100 cc's in them, or 100 small motors with 10 cc's in them.
To keep the pot, keeping the pot relatively small.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Multiple outputs.
Yeah. Mm.
So instead of two...
This is why I think there is a scaling problem. There is some sort of scaling problem. I'm not saying you can't do a pop-up, but we might have to jiggle the mathematics of how it's done to get it to work.
All right, we'll get all the monkeys on it and have them start doing the ciphering and get it all figured out. And on the calorie section, I'll be the guinea pig. You guys can put me in the boat because I'm like 150 pounds. And if I don't take a whole lot of calories in, I could probably lose a few before then. So you'll have less mass to actually move with the pop-pop boat. What do you think?
Well, the sounds of it, you can't afford to lose any matches, is.
Yeah, I'd be transparent. Somebody once told me if I turn sideways and stick my tongue out, I'd look like a zipper.
Well, I've still got some quarter-inch pipe left over from the Tesla coil build, so I might make up a bit of a coil tomorrow and see what I can play around with.
Well, I've got one pop-pop boat on the way in the mail. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, I might not have to be a judge. I may have to not be in the con. I may have to. Can't even get this right. I can't be a judge because I may need to be in the contest. Is what I'm trying to say.
But you can't be in the contest if you're hosting the contest.
Oh well, doggone it. Well, I'll just make a boat then.
That puts you and me completely square out of the competition.
Man.
Like we can enter purely for the fun of it, but we have no chance of winning.
Okay, we're going to enter the contest, but we can't be part of the contest. That's cool. I can live with that.
Yeah, that's fine. Because otherwise, if one of us wins...
I want somebody to do the high-tech terminology, calculations, equations, / algebra, trigonometry, and all that kind of stuff, and I'm going to do nothing but
regular
measurements.
Well, you're
I need some numbers. I need to know how much heat's coming off that little...
Well, you're going to have you're going to have to buy a pop-pop boat off of eBay. And depending on where you live, it'll be dependent on how much it costs. Because I got mine for $7, and
I think Google.
Yeah, there you go.
Google is his friend because I bet there's a website that tells him exactly how much heat a candle puts off.
Yeah. Otherwise, you buy a pop pop boat and you run some tests.
Yeah. No, because once you can work out a formula, then you can start figuring out everything. Like, that's the way, that's the kind of slightly better way to work things. I mean, the old days when the Wright brothers strapped together an airplane, they actually had formulas worked out because they had built a kind of a rudimentary wind tunnel and figured out how much lift they got from a certain section of wing. So then they were able to say, well, if that section gives 10 pounds of lift, if we scale it up, we're going to get enough lift to get off the ground and fly. And it worked.
Here we go. Approximately 800 degrees and approximately 40 watts of heat energy from a candle.
As much as that. Oh, wow.
All right.
I'm amazed.
Got your calculator ready?
So Google says.
Yeah.
Alright, so you do the high-tech terminology / algebra, trigonometry, measurements and calculations and come up with a plan, and I will do the redneck version and see if we can get, which one we can get moving.
Yeah, well what would be useful to know is the size of that water container which has the water that's heated up. I would say it's about 1 cc. It can't be very big. So 40 watts in the 1 cc looks like the formula. You know, we can work on that for the moment. Assume that 40 watts heats up 1 cc of water every second to turn it into steam. and then we can see if we can try and scale that up.
All right, I have to talk.
Actually, it's more like about 5 or 6 times a second. They go.
Yeah, I have to throw a monkey wrench in there too.
Okay, we're working on the assumption that it's five heat up seconds. It's 5 times turning in steam on 40 watts, and we'll try and figure out the efficiency of that. I mean, those little things motor around, that thing's pretty good.
I have to throw a monkey wrench in there too. They also said that depending on how much surface area you have on your pipes there, it will depend on how long it will actually run before it has to stop for a second and then start heating up again.
All right. And so how long will that take before that happens?
Well, that's why I say you're going to have to get one of them boats and put your lab coat on and start experimenting. Time it out.
Yeah.
You'll get it figured out. So, you can make them out of tuna cans. Do they sell tuna in Spain?
Yeah, they sell tuna cans. I'll have to make one out of tuna can. Yeah.
How's that go? You can't tune a tuna, but you can tune a fish?
There is people out there that are making bigger pop-pop engines, too. I'll just Google search how to make a pop-pop engine.
Well, the Canadians are pretty much the cutting edge. They've got some with multi-ports going on and little speedboats, man.
Yeah. Well, the thing you got to bear in mind is that if you've got, say, a speedboat, and you got a 100-horsepower engine, and the boat does, say, 30 knots, if you put a second 100-horsepower engine on, you're not going to go faster. What you're going to get is you're going to get twice as much thrust. You'll reach 30 knots much quicker, but you're not going to get twice the speed. Yeah, if you want to get faster, you put on a big 200 horsepower engine, then you might get to 35 or 40 knots, but you're not going to get double the speed.
And from that larger engine, you'd also look at a bigger prop and things like that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you get better efficiency and a bigger prop, and various other factors kick in.
Well, it's
so putting two engines on doesn't always give you more speed. It gives you more thrust. You'll accelerate faster.
Well, it's not beyond the realms of possibility that you could actually throw a little mini solar cell on there and a motor as well, so we can make it a combination electric / pop-pop boat with wind assist.
I was thinking induction would be something fun to play with.
Yeah, so when you get your pop-pop boat going, you could use thermal heat to actually create some energy for your induction coils to actually help assist in heating the water. Mm. These are going to be some really high-tech pop-pop boats. You know that, Cultus?
Yeah, mine.
Yeah, mine. Yeah. Mine's going to have a thermal plasma reactor in it.
Let me ask you a question. What's the impetus? Why do you want to have this little contest? What's the end game?
Well, the ultimate, I would say the ultimate goal is to getting everybody to think outside the box and be able to we want everybody to try to build this out of junk. Just things that you find in the dump, off the side of the road, or donated or recycled material. Things that, you don't have to go to the hardware store and buy it. If you do have to go to the hardware store, you know, like Colta said, we might have to dock you a point or two, you know, something like that. But for the most part, out of recycled junk.
Not very often. Not very often you're going to find, like, copper tubing off the side of the road.
Yeah, and we're not suggesting that anybody go out there and acquire it in any kind of less than honorable manner.
Reusing your tubing is not allowed.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get tubing, copper tubing from old fridges.
Yeah.
You know,
Freon gas.
Yeah. Well, just mind, yeah, the Freon gas. There is copper tubing on you see the copper or brass on the old fridges. But, I mean, if you're looking for the smaller gauge brass or copper tubing. If you go into your average model airplane or model boat shop, they'll sell it to you. It's pretty cheap. You know, like the length of it, 6 inches, a foot long is about $3 or $4. You know, it's not crazy money to buy a short length of copper tubing if you're experimenting on smaller sizes. On the larger sizes, if you're going very large, well then, in the hardware shop, you can buy copper pipe about 1/4 inch. They use that for micro heating on the, you know, your central heating. Now it's called micro board. Most, in the old days, it used to be big gun barrels for the hot water going through the house. But nowadays, they tend to use microbore, which is about 1/4 inch thick copper tubing, because it's flexible, it goes around corners, and you don't get so much heat loss when the hot water is pumping through the copper. So there, and it's not that expensive. And you might get it when you go to, junkyards. You'll be able to find microbore.
Yeah, so, and back to the whole purpose of the thing is that we want to. I got this crazy idea whenever I saw this toy for the first time. Now I had a friend come over that I met up at the alternative living deal at the church, and he had a book that was made back in the 1800s, and it had it was a chemistry book, and he showed me in this book how they were actually making hydrogen back then, and also he told me about this boat, and I've never seen one of these boats before until he showed this to me, and then I looked it up. So I was thinking that back in the old days, there was a lot of science that went on in the old toys. And there's another thing, too. If anyone out there is listening knows of any old toys that does anything cool, like they used to sell these little submarines that you put baking soda in there. And when you put the baking soda and you put it in the water, the little submarine would go up and down in the water. So There was a lot of science in a lot of these old toys and a lot of the things that could be used for alternative energy uses. See, we were thinking about taking that method by which the pop-pop boat actually functions, you know, heating up the water and then basically drawing water in the other side of the tube and using condensation to keep the boiler going. We was thinking on using that to make a solar version, whereby you use the sun to heat up the boiler, boil the water, and get a wheel to spinning in the water. I fully believe it's possible. I know that you could do this using candles, but I would like to see it be done using solar or electric. And then when you get this wheel going, you could add a few more systems to it, like you know, induction heating, using some coils, and using that to help heat up the boiler, or different types of materials that could be done. Basically using the function of some old toys to, in the long term, generate energy that could, you know, basically go all day long. Using a little bit of wind assist, like a turbine on the top of the thing, and a little bit of solar to keep the heat going. Some thermal electrics to drain some energy off of the heat, and so on down the line. We just want to see the most creative design out there. And I believe that with all the people involved in the deal, there's enough creativity to go around. We could get some really interesting boats come up out of this. What do you guys think? Don't everybody jump at once.
Might need some other answers.
Huh?
I was waiting to hear some other answers.
Yeah. Do-do-do-do-do. Nothing like dead air right on the radio.
Yeah, well, guys, would it be cheating if you used a pulse jet engine?
Well,
pulse jet engine, huh?
It kind of goes away from the pop-pop, don't it?
Not really. I mean, a pulse jet is a... engine.
All right, so
it's a big pipe, and you throw fuel in, and you ignite it, and then the valve closes at one end, and all the fuel gets thrown out and then creates the reaction. It does it about 300 times a second.
It's like an old German buzz bomb.
Yeah, we're going to get to...
It is really no different than when I entered my Tesla coil as a pulse motor build-off entry.
Ah! So, we're going to get to see Dublin in his video flying across the plains in Spain at light speed using a pulse jet engine. That ought to be pretty exciting. You going to have brakes on that thing, Dublin?
No, it's going to be... when you want to come to land, you just eject and you parachute down.
Right before you crash, step out.
I thought you just threw an anchor out.
Right before you crash, just step out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's the landing. You know, parachutes work.
There's a link I just threw in the Knights of the Round Table chat room there, boys. I think that's about the equivalency of Dublin in his putt-putt boat.
I'm going to have to watch that later. That's funny. All right, well, Dublin, you put a drag chute on your boat. That way you can slow down and don't jump out at the last second. It doesn't work. It works in the cartoons, but it doesn't work.
Oh, darn, right. I was basing everything on the cartoon.
Yeah.
You ever see that cartoon where the aeroplane is heading straight for the ground and he runs out of fuel and it stops about 2 inches off the ground and he just steps out of the plane and onto the ground and says, phew, that was a close one.
Yeah, and I know, I heard that works.
Yeah, if the cable...
But sure works for the guy in the cartoon. I forget his name. I think it was Daffy Duck or one of them.
Well, if Daffy Duck's flying it, you ain't got no problems because that guy's got skill, man. Did you ever see when he played Robin Hood? He was playing Robin Hood and he had his vine on the tree and he goes yoist and away and then slams into the tree down at the bottom and then he yoist and away and hits another tree and then yoist and away and so on down the line and then finally he gets all the way up there and he chops all the trees down and he's at the top of the hill again and he goes yoist and away and he goes flying right across there and hits a rock on the other side.
You're right, it was Daffy Duck. Yeah. And he was it was like a Robin Hood kind of episode, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Porky Pig was like Robin Hood in the end. Daffy Duck was trying to get him to join his band of merry men and every, you know, trying to impress him. And Keith just like, yeah,
you
I do that episode.
You can learn a lot about cartoons. That's how Congress got all their ideas, man. In the Senate, yeah.
What do you call a group of baboons sitting around in a circle?
Congress.
Congress. That's a fact.
That is actually the term that is right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for some strange reason, baboons tend to collect in a big circle, and then they kind of figure out who's the chief baboon, and he sits in a higher point on the circle. You know, because usually they pick a bit of ground which is not exactly even. So you know who's the chief baboon. He's the guy kind of sitting at a higher point. And then they'll, the ones who are contesting the power will sit closer to him, and then one day they'll try and push him off that position, and then he becomes a lower level baboon.
I don't think I want to be the chief baboon.
No, it's good. You get all the girls.
Really?
Yeah.
There's incentive.
All right, I'm the chief baboon.
In a typical baboon group, you got like 50 and then 25 of those girls, and when you're the chief baboon, you're the only one allowed to have sex with all the girls, and all the others can only watch. Life is tough for them.
All right, back to the pop-pop boat. This conversation just went downhill. Oh, man. So what do you think, Kent? You think this is a doable event? You think that we can build a life-size pop-pop boat?
Well, I don't know if we can or can't, but it'd sure be interesting to see it.
you know, by having this competition, we're practically just putting the challenge out there for if we can't do it, someone else have a hand at it. You know?
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be a life size. We're just like going for broke. That's what we do. But we're you can make it on a micro scale.
Now.
Maybe that
we want the big one.
I was going to say maybe
the bigger the better.
Maybe that can be the actual focal point is who can build the biggest pop boat that will motor along under its own power.
There you go. I like the way that sounds. And the smallest one that will actually spin the a wheel in a circle using multiple pop boats.
Okay.
And generate electricity while it's doing it.
Okay, so we can have a couple of categories.
Yeah.
All right.
So I think this ought to be really interesting. I'm looking
good
forward
to you, boys?
It. Cultist? Dublin?
Doug?
Somebody?
Yeah, I'm reflecting. I'm thinking about, all the different ins and outs.
Well,
it might be more interesting to make it might be easier to make a pulse jet and pop boat combined operation, because the pulse jet, the fuel coming out the pulse jet is very, very hot, and then that could be heating the pop boiler.
Well, you could.
We could just leave the rules open like that. You know, if you want to use a pulse jet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well,
if you, because not everybody's got the skills to build a pulse jet.
Well, no. Actually, a pulse jet is not very difficult to build. It's really only a tube, and at one end is butterfly valve to close.
All right. So if mine is hydrogen based pop jet, so whenever I get the steam actually going and I shoot high voltage arc through there and ignite the hydrogen and the oxygen and that thing goes across the pond at light speed, can I enter that in the contest, or am I still excluded?
You most certainly can enter it, but you can't.
Yeah, go for it. You can't win, so you might as well enter it.
Oh.
Our jaws will drop, to the ground, when we see it going across that pond.
We can only do it purely for the fun of it.
Alright, okay, I'm with you.
If one of us was to happen to win, there would be an outcry so large that none of us would have a name that was worth washing the soap.
Alright, so there's a lot of ideas there for everybody out there listening. Go check out Cultus's Desert Experimenter channel and Shaziz Mad Science, and we'll try to get a video up explaining all the rules and the regulations and all that kind of stuff. I don't like regulations. Let's just say ideas for the boat.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
I think somebody should get a Pratt & Whitney J58 engine and make one of that.
A which?
A Pratt & Whitney J58 jet engine.
Holy smokes, man.
Why not? How's North Bear? Throw it at it.
Man, you guys are really going to go for broke, ain't you?
Yeah, I mean, if you go down your local junkyard in America and you can pick up an old 707 jet airplane engine for probably scrap metal price, I don't know, a few hundred bucks.
All right, hey.
That's a lot of horsepower.
Let's make it so we can have teams as well, because I just got a visual of Dublin and Kent in the same boat going at light speed wearing them old style World War I leather helmets and flight helmets and goggles.
Don't forget the goggles.
You got maple trees out there, don't you, Shaziz?
Well, yeah, just try to dodge those things.
Okay, so take your jet engine and hook it up to one of those maple trees to suck the sap out of it.
Man. Now, why would I want to do that?
I got 100-foot elm trees imploding? Come on. Or, yeah.
All right.
Awesome.
I thought you was going to try to tell me that I'm going to cut me a log out and make me a rocket log to fly down the river with. Either way, it'd be exciting. So you can make your pop boat out of everything under the sun. Try to use recycled materials. That's the most important. Recycled materials, things, junk that you find on the side of the road. The most creative will be the winner. What do you think, guys?
Yep. Most creative in each category.
And
well, the thing is, there's quite a lot of YouTube videos out there on guys who've gone down to local scrapyards and got hold of jet engines, and they start them up in their back gardens, and they're not terribly popular with their neighbors, but they sure make a hell of a racket when you got a big jet engine in your back garden.
I would like to see what jet ski would do in a pool. Wouldn't that be fun?
Well, it'll certainly move.
All right, so this ought to be exciting, man.
Okay, so what are they going to win?
Well, we ain't necessarily worked out all the prizes yet, but we'll have that situated before the deal.
That we shall.
Fabulous prizes, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have something good for that. We've got to make it worthwhile.
Exactly.
Yeah. So start save your pennies to go down to the junkyard to get the jet engine and the bits and bobs and whatnots.
Now, and there's also a possibility we could throw another category in there with Cultus's idea of taking a two-cycle motor and turning it into a steam engine. Because it is steam-related.
Yeah.
You all right, Adam?
I think he fell off his chair.
Hey, DJ.
You put a seatbelt on.
Something lost you. You looked like you were stroking out there, but go ahead.
We got dead air again.
Anyway, steam engine would be cool addition to your pop boat. Hmm. Yeah, you could use steam engines to generate electricity to heat up the water and get your pop-pop going pretty good.
Yeah, well, essentially a pop-pop boat is a steam engine of sorts. So, I guess we could add a little category there where you could actually build you a real little steam engine to use that to feed the exhaust down into the water and get you moving.
Well, if you look at power production plants, they're normally called three-stage, seven-stage, whatever, power production. Because what happens is, the first stage, they heat up the steam, they superheat it, and it drives the turbine. And then they don't throw that steam away because, they spend a lot of energy heating it up. So they put it into the second stage heater, which reheats it, and then fires it back into the turbine. And the most efficient turbines will normally be seven-stage electric power stations. And I remember talking to one guy who was in the business, and he said in Holland with a gas-heating electric power station, they were able to get 87% efficiency. Because what they would do with the hot water when they're finished was they would condense it, and then they would put it out into the local area and heat up the houses. So their peak production, they were once able to get 87% efficiency, which is pretty damn good from thermal convention. Now, they wouldn't get that every day, but that was one of their peak loads. So gives you some idea of how well-developed electric power stations are. So if you were using your steam engine combined with a multi-stage system, you might get much better efficiencies. Just thought I'd let you know that.
Well, somebody jump on Google and look up DDG21. That's a DDG21. That's a guided missile destroyer that I was on back in 1984. And it was all steam. It had two boiler rooms and four boilers in it. And four engines. That thing was pretty cool, man.
So now, most of the modern destroyers are turbines. They're engines now.
We had the luxury of racing a one of them gas turbine engines, gas turbine boats one day, and of course we got all four boilers on the line, and we're just cooking along, going pop, 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 putt, 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 pop, pop, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And then the gas turbine kicked in the fuel there and just left us in the dirt.
Yeah. I know. How humiliating. How humiliating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The USS Cochrane, huh?
Yep. That was the ship I was on in 1984. Mm-hmm. Got to see Hong Kong, Thailand, Singapore, Philippines, Korea, all over the place. We were out in the South China Sea. We were all over the place, man. And I'll tell you what, you never get to go on a ride until you go to the South China Sea, because if you get even remotely seasick, that's the place to do it, because the waves over there can be up to 16 feet or more. And I'll tell you what, it'll rock that boat, especially during a storm.
Let me read you a little something here. Did you help build or serve on the United States in the Navy or another branch of the armed forces aboard the USS Cochrane DDG-21? If so, you were most likely exposed to asbestos. The Cochrane, like many other guided missile destroyers, contains numerous products containing asbestos. Asbestos insulation aboard the guided missile destroyers was common.
Yeah,
blah, blah, blah.
It just doesn't feel any better that you read it in your sexy voice, Ken.
Hey, ooh, is he? Yeah. But so, he's not.
If you'd like to receive a free consultation, they're going to help you.
He's not telling me anything that I don't already know, because I had a superior officer down there. There's this paint called aluminum heat treated oxide paint. And we had the luxury of being up inside the air casing painting the tubes with very little ventilation. And that was an exciting day. That's a story for another day. But either way, it ended up where the captain of my ship had a handprint of silver paint on the back of his uniform.
I tell you, please.
Oh, that's a long story, brother. I'll have to tell you guys about it sometime. But, yeah, we were not in our right minds, because that the fumes could have killed us. But, you know, that's one of the things that we dealt with. And being up in the stacks with Mark V, without Mark V gas mask, cleaning down soot with wire brushes. So those were the days where, you know, groups like OSHA weren't anywhere in sight. And you did a lot of things back then that, you know, so as far as the asbestos, it doesn't surprise me in the least, because every pipe down there was wrapped with it. And so if I'm going to die of asbestosis, I at least got 48 years out of my life as of today. So,
you know what they say? They say, I have mesothelioma.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to stress over it.
Actually, a lot of people get exposed to asbestos without realizing it, because a lot of old buildings, you go into the shops and you buy stuff, and a lot of those old buildings have got asbestos all over them.
Half the water pipes in the world are asbestos concrete pipe.
That's right. So,
everybody's exposed to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The nature of the world. And asbestos doesn't kill everybody. It just kills some people.
So, back to...
It's not guaranteed.
Back to the pop-pop boat. If I can get my hands on a one of the old guided missile destroyers, and instead of using the actual engines, port the exhaust straight down in the water and get that to move, does that count?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, that counts. You gotta win something just for getting the missile destroyer.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, they take them out there and sink them in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, Norway selling off their destroyers pretty cheap, I gather.
And Korea has some of the old Vietnam-era destroyers. They're little tiny boats, too.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we've just been joined by Muddy Muddy Mudman as well, so g'day, Muddy.
It's about time.
Unmute your mic.
Unmute your mic, Muddy. Hit the 300-watt linear button. Muddy. He'll be coming in there echoing, hello. Well, we'll wait till Muddy can talk. Just wave at him. We ain't got video, do we?
No, but we can all turn on video if you want to have that much fun, because I'm hosting the call, and we're allowed to do that now. We can have multiple video chat.
That's pretty cool, man.
We can.
My bandwidth wouldn't handle it. My bandwidth is not very good today.
Alright, it's 9:00.
I think Muddy's trying, but he's not getting through. You can see it flashing, but no indication that he's getting through.
Yep, we're getting there.
Yeah, he's writing up something now on the Skype message system.
Alright, well.
What did I sound like? We didn't hear nothing. We hear click, click, click. That's all we hear.
This kind of sounds like crickets, dude.
Yeah, we can talk about Muddy's Honest Abe's Used ISP service later. Would you think we should throw on a quick tune or two and have a breather and come back with something intelligent to say?
That sounds like a plan, mate.
All right, does anybody like Creedence Clearwater Revival?
Oh, CCR for the win.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
Rolling.
Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to King Shaziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table. We've got Honorable Knight Cultus, we've got Honorable Knight Kent, and Honorable Knight Muddy in Dublin. And I think Michael's out there somewhere. Maybe he ought to call in, too, and join the crowd. What do y'all think? How y'all doing? Don't everybody jump at once. Okay. Radio air.
So, Muddy.
How you doing there, brother?
Good morning, Muddy.
Oh, having a ball. We talking about pop bugs still?
Yeah, are you going to join the contest or are you going to be one of the judges?
Oh, I don't know. Thinking about if I can find an aluminum boat or a little canoe or something, I might put one in there and see how it puts on what's left of the Brazos River down here.
Cool. Hey, speaking of judges, Kent, we happen to mention your name. Would you be interested in being a judge in the contest, or you want to enter one?
I'll be a judge. I'd be happy to do that.
Cool.
But what I want to ask Muddy Muddy Man is that Missouri Wind and Solar has got a little contest going on, a little giveaway. You want to tell us about that?
Oh, I didn't think he had one going. He didn't contact me about it. Not this time.
Really?
George, yeah, really? Let's see. He had
your drawer in the competition, brother.
Yeah, you're picking my name out of the hat.
This time. Yeah, I keep watching all these good things give away. I want to do like this Bathard did and just go on there and just talk about any just little short comments. Next one, next one, next one.
All right.
But he won the contest. Everybody went, man, because I got sick of seeing his comments, and we decided not to take him out, because we'd have to redo the whole thing all over again. That would have took another 4 hours just to get it all squared away and start counting, or actually another 2 hours to recount everything, but that was kind of fun. That was
something. Picking the name out of the hat, so it better be my name.
What's he giving away now, Kent?
We have a 400 watt wind generator.
There you go.
Charger controller.
And charger controller. $100
Cool. I'm going to enter this time, but I'm not going to do the Richard Downer thing.
Well, I don't know what you guys are talking about, so I'm just going to sit here and shut up.
Okay, so Jeff from Missouri Wind and Solar is quite renowned for having free giveaways. The first one was a wind generator. The second one was a couple of solar panels, and this time around again is another wind turbine. So it's a 400 watt wind turbine, and the charger controller to go with it. All you have to do is head over to Missouri Wind and Solar's YouTube channel, and you have to favorite the video, subscribe to his channel, and leave a comment on the video. You are allowed to leave a maximum of 4 comments on the video. If you leave any more than 4, you will be automatically disqualified from the competition. And Muddy Muddy Mudman will use his random number generator to select a comment at random to win the generator.
Cool.
Must be in it to win it, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, and you can get a shortcut to the links that he's talking about on here on Shaziz Radio. Let me look and see which page it's actually on.
I'll see if I can get him to come on the program. How about that?
If you click on Mad Science.
Man, we talked for hours and hours and hours, man, and never stop laughing. I mean, he's a great guy, family guy. He got a good family business. He's come up from the garage, you know, and I mean, my goodness. He wasn't rolling in any dough when he started out, and he just wanted, he's got the same vision as me. He wants to make something cheap enough for everybody out there that's going to work better than the regular industry standard garbage.
There's a link to Missouri Wind and Solar. There is a link to Missouri Wind and Solar on the Mad Science page here on Shaziz Radio, so if anybody needs to go there and check it out, then click.
And I have just dropped a couple of links in the chat there. Actually, I can only drop one link in the chat there because the other one, Chatango, won't let me put in there. So there's the video link to the giveaway that you have to comment on and favorite. So, and I'll also throw that in the Knights of the Roundtable host room here on Skype for all the boys and girls there. And if anyone would like to pass that around to our simulcasters,
you're a scholar and a gentleman.
We can pass it around to our simulcasters. We'll be laughing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's the way that we get information to spread around here, man. I send it to you, you send it to somebody else, and so on down the line. So tell all your friends on Facebook and YouTube and all that to come over here and listen in on Shaziz Radio, or join in the chat rooms at either ShazizRadio.com or over to Awake Radio or No Borders Radio or any of the other networks we're multicasting with. So with that said, where do we go to from here, guys?
Don't know.
It's amazing how you hear crickets.
We're nervous you're going to say, so what do y'all think about that? And we're all like, which one of us?
Okay, I'll be target specific. What do you think, Kent?
Well, I think it sounds good.
Cool. You know, I was thinking earlier this morning, I said to myself, you know, because I have conversations with myself a lot, you know, and sometimes I answer myself, which is kind of disturbing. But anyway, I was thinking, man, wouldn't it be nice if all of us was in the same neighborhood? Because just imagine the stuff that we could accomplish if we all had the same, you know, lab, and we could work together. But then I got to thinking, literally we are in the same neighborhood with all the technology we've got now and getting virtual labs. We're working on getting that up and running and be able to work real time and actually people be able to see live experiments as they're happening. I love the internet.
It is one of our greatest technological feats, and one of the most important that we have to date. I mean, you just think of the amount of information that we're able to exchange, the people we're able to meet all over the world. Like, none of us would probably know each other if not for the internet.
Yeah,
that's a fact.
And it's to me, absolutely. I don't know how you guys feel about this, man, but I might get a little bit mushy here, but to me, Shaziz Radio and Awake Radio, all the people that we've met, it's not just like friends across the world. We've become almost like a family. You know, we all got our little differences and stuff like that. And it's this, you know, in every family, you got a wide variety of types of people. We got some amazing people here. And to me, it's more like a family. You know, I know. Simply Steve, or well, he goes by Steve Hope now, and then I know Steve from Ireland and the Scotty Sovereigns and all the different networks out here. But we've gotten to know each other on a personal level, you know. And so when one of us is missing, the other one's looking to find out and make sure everything's all right. To me, that says family. What do you guys think?
Definitely, mate. Definitely. You know, I mean, you just think about it. We all pretty much know each other's families and all the rest of it now. You know, like, you know.
I got on here this morning and I had over 100 happy birthdays coming to me. That was pretty cool, man.
Yeah. If I'd known about it a little bit earlier, I'd have had to Shaky Dave and the Star Riders do you a nice birthday performance, but I didn't know about it in time.
Well, that's all right. I don't really look too much forward to birthdays, because that means I'm getting older. So I'm about old as dirt right now. And according to Dublin's calculations, when I get 70, I'll be in the dirt anyway.
Yeah, it's great when you grow up when the top 10 is the 10 commandments, right?
Yeah. When I was young, I overheard Moses saying, pass the soap.
Good morning.
Too good.
So when are we going to have an ape hanger contest?
Oh, that's that. Now that's a good one. We got to do that.
Cause yeah, we've been through our whole deal. We can go through the list of what, you know, what we, I mean, I, and the last one I come was putting the ape hangers on the pop-pop boat. But maybe you ought to throw that in there.
I think ape hangers on a pogo stick would be top. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Or a hoppity hop, or there's so many different things you could put ape hangers on. It would be just, it'd be wonderful.
A kangaroo.
Yeah, ape hangers on a kangaroo.
So I was thinking to myself, I said, self, I sometimes do that when I'm talking to myself. I said, self, what is an ape hanger?
Have you figured it out, or shall we tell you?
No, kind of it. Maybe you should tell the audience.
All right, everybody. For those out there that ain't familiar with what we're talking about, ape hangers in the motorcycle community, whether it be you know, Harley Cruz or Honda or whatever motorcycles, and I ain't never seen one on a moped, but that would be good too. Ape hangers are those really super tall handlebars where you got to stretch way up in the air to hang on to. They call those ape hangers. And we want to put ape hangers on pogo sticks, hoppity hops, skateboards, scooters, and now a moped and anything else we can think about. So, does that explain it?
I said to myself, self, doesn't those old pogo sticks, I know that, I think my sister had pogo stick with ape hangers on it.
Really?
In fact, I'm pretty sure. And it had little tassels coming out the back. I'm pretty sure of it.
Yeah, but I don't think they were the traditional style of ape hangers like you'd find on an old Harley Davidson or something, because those things stick way out there, you know. But don't everybody talk at once.
I'm so down.
Well, we're listening to a jet fly over your house or something.
Oh, that's not my house. That's probably air conditioning at either Dublin's or Muddy's.
Nice line.
Muddy.
I think I left the microphone on automatic. Let me find a nice happy medium for it.
Yeah, Muddy. Muddy don't believe in just having a fan. He's got to have a turbine going.
I got nothing going. I got nothing going, but I'm gonna double.
So if it's gale force winds, it's like, you're in Muddy's house.
Sounds like he's burning a ditch.
Yeah, turn mine down a little manually. How's that?
All right. So,
why is it hot? Are you saying it's hot? You actually need an air conditioner this time of year?
He does.
No, I said I turned the microphone down.
He does live in Cranberry, Texas.
Cranberry, Texas.
Cranberry, by gosh, Texas.
Yeah,
the exact.
Cranberry, by, do they grow a lot of cranberries down there?
No, that's up north, man. I used to skate on them cranberry dogs, man. That's the last. But no, this is Granberry with a G.
Yeah, but cranberry.
Where's it next to?
Cranberry sounds funnier.
Oh, I don't know if you lived here, Granberry would be, because it's like Gran, like hello grandma, hello Gran, everybody's grandma and grandpa around here.
All right.
So, old folks.
So if you live in Granberry, does that make you a Grandian or? I'm just saying.
Granberryan.
Granberryan, there you go.
Yeah, that's it. I was trying to figure it out, but yeah, Granberryan.
All right, so
Granberryan Rhapsody around here, right?
So Kent, what's the town you're in?
Well, I live near a little town called Richfield, Utah.
So is that
rich?
So would that be like a Richfieldian? You know.
No, it would probably just be just another, how do I say this nicely? You can't.
All right.
Yes.
So we know we got an Australian here, and we got a Missourian, and we got a Texan. And we got somebody from Spain. I don't know what you would call that one.
Spanish.
Okay.
Spaniard.
No. Spaniard.
Isn't he Irish? Are you Spanish?
Yeah, I'm Irish.
He's Irish.
Yeah, he's Irish, but he's...
Irish in Spain.
He's
Irish in Spain.
Yeah.
So no matter where you go, you're still Irish. You're just screwed.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's the trouble.
We need to get him one of them Spaniard hats like I seen in the movies. Anyway.
El Mexico hat.
Yeah. No hablo español, señor. All right.
Hey, I got a Spanish friend over here. You be careful what you say.
All I said, I don't speak English. I don't know Spanish. Never mind
me. He's one of my best friends.
I'm speaking English.
No sprechen Sie Deutsch. No parlez vous français. No hablo español. Aego ga hanashideska. I don't know. It goes on and on. I just don't speak any of them. So.
I so need to download.
Guys, I put a link in the
it's called the EM drive.
It's called EM drive. EM drive. Any of you familiar with EM drive?
No, let's hear about it.
Well, the video was looked at a couple of
times. Well, basically they're claiming that if you've got microwave power and you bounce it between different plates, that you get some sort of thrust effect, very useful for satellites in space. You don't have to carry fuel up. You just catch the solar power from the sky, and by beaming the microwaves in a certain way, you get thrust, and you can control your satellite. But I was looking at the specs, and they say that you could get from 1 kilowatt of microwave power, you could get 3 tons of thrust. So I was wondering, can I add that to my Scooby-Doo pop boat? You know,
please do.
I can now.
I don't think that's a good idea.
If you can build it, you can put it on it.
I don't think that's a good idea, though.
I mean, three. I think 3 tons of thrust on a canoe would pretty well make my canoe shoot across the swimming pool pretty quick.
It's also going to cook all the fish behind you, too.
I was going to say, dinner will float in the space, and I'll cook and ready to eat.
All right, look, we don't want to be, we don't want to be polluting the environment while we're doing this, guys.
This is very true.
All right, so, no microwave weapons.
No, we like
to. Not a weapon. It's a microwave weapon.
It's not a weapon.
It all depends on how you look at it. If you're the fish that's swimming behind that boat, it's a weapon.
It's not a weapon. It doesn't exhaust like a rocket engine. It's completely self-contained.
All right.
It's like your microwave oven, except you're getting thrust out of the microwave oven.
All right.
I got a microwave oven for the rubbish the other day, and I was figuring if I can get this microwave oven working again, I can get 3 tons of thrust out of this microwave. So I put it in the pop boat, and I just go, man. I just go. I might even go over and visit in America.
Dublin, what you do? Whatever you do, Dublin, do not pull that microwave apart with that magnetron and turn it on anywhere near anything.
Oh, I know that. I've been looking at all the videos.
All right.
That's a legal disclaimer for today. That's a legal disclaimer for today. Do not tear apart the microwave oven and start cooking, like
a surrounding
the neighborhood cats with it or something.
Well, I have to.
Don't modify your microwave to be an EM drive, or you might put 3 tons of thrust in. If you sit on your microwave, you can take off.
You realize that with 3 tons of thrust, you can run a generator,
and carry a lot of gasoline and everything you need, and it would be completely self-contained floating power.
Wow.
Yeah, you'd be float ever.
You take take a Chevrolet 350 engine, and that puts out like 45 kilowatt hours or kilowatts of power out of a 350 engine. So you take that and you hook it up to a generator. Boy, you got 45. What is that? That's how many pounds of thrust is that? 45 times 3,000, ton and a half.
Yeah, it's about. No, 3 tons is short stuff. Yeah, would be 3,000 to you.
Going into your mathematical equation, 135,000.
Holy smokes!
Yeah, 135,000 pounds of thrust out of a generator running on the back of a 350 engine.
So now, let me ask my next question. Then, does that mean that those World War II leather helmets and goggles are going to either A, hold up, or B, shred off your face at the speed at which you're going to be traveling with this pop boat?
Well, I'm worried about leaving the atmosphere.
I don't think
they work pretty good as pressure suits. I don't think it would work good as a pressure suit.
All right, anyone who breaks the sound barrier with their pop boat is the automatic winner. All right.
Which will be verified by one of us who lives in your country.
Yeah. if you can barnstorm the house and rumble the ground with your pop boat, then you win. Alright.
Yeah, my dream on the pop boat is just sit back in my aluminum boat or canoe. But if I had a canoe, I'd have to have two pieces of bamboo, which is plentiful anywhere just about in the world. Yeah. Just stick a couple 2 liters out on the side, make some little pontoons.
What's up? Yeah.
Yeah, and then just sit back, put the log, like get the log lit, and just kind of listen to the motor go while you lay in the back and just kind of watch as he putt over the lake, and that log's going to last a long time.
I just got a visual while you're telling me that, Muddy.
Oh, yeah, that's the way I dream.
Listen to this, guys.
Image that popped in my mind when we started talking about
it. Muddy's in his canoe, and he's got his pop going. He's threw a log on the fire, and he leans back. He's resting. He falls asleep in his canoe. He's going down the river and then over the falls with his pop boat.
And the log goes out.
Yeah, and the log goes out. And he wakes up at the bottom down there saying, "Hey, what happened, man?"
Yeah, just don't use a rubber raft. It won't last long.
This is going to be a fun and an exciting contest. I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of funny things come up out of this.
Yep, I think so.
I'm looking forward to it.
We can find some really hangers on it.
Hey, yeah, there you go, Muddy. Put some ape hangers on your canoe so you can hang on whenever you're going over the falls. You can hang on to the boat.
Yeah.
Ape hangers on a pop boat.
Yep, there you go.
And my luck, I'm staring at some gold when I get to the bottom and say, cool.
Well hopefully it ain't your tooth, man.
Oh, yeah.
I can just see Muddy going over the cliffs like the land of the lost and his ape hangers on his...
He's like, no worries, I've got a good grip on it.
Yeah, and the slee stack.
Oh, man. Oh, that's funny. All right, so what have we figured out so far, Cultus?
Alrighty. We have figured out so far that we are having two categories. Yes?
Yep, two categories.
The largest and the best, most efficient electricity-generating pop engine, which is your standalone little wheel idea.
Yep.
Always making pop boats.
We are. We're making a combination generator / pop boat using all kinds of recycled materials.
Hey, don't spoil it, sweetheart. You weren't here at the beginning, so... So just, you know, just soak it in.
Yeah, just go with it, brother. All right, go ahead, Coltis. Well, finish off.
Okay, so yeah, we've got our wheel generation category and our largest self-propelling pop-pop category. We have Kent lined up as a judge. I shall contact both Russ and Tin Man and ask them if they wish to have a hand in judging, as per discussed earlier on between you and I.
Yep.
Rules must be made from recycled or reused parts and must work on the pop-pop or putt-putt principle, just to be overly scientific for everyone out there.
Yeah, don't mean you can't get creative and maybe throw a little wind or solar assist in there, but the main propulsion, that's the word I'm looking for, has to be the pop-pop or the putt-putt, right?
Yep. Like I even suggested before, induction, so there's electricity involved. You know, like you're open to however you wish to produce it, so long as you can contain it on the vessel and the vessel can propel itself.
Yeah, exactly.
Alright, yep. Prizes still to be decided upon and announced, but they will be something fairly decent. We're not, you know, there's not going to be no you know, $2 shot prizes. We'll come up with some worthwhile prizes.
Yeah, you're not going to get the American Airline bag of peanuts that we saved from the last time we went on a flight 6 months ago. It's going to be something. It'll be primo.
I already ate those.
Well, definitely not putting them in the prize pool then. Not now.
All right.
I heard the word primo prize, so I'll guarantee you all right now that there is going to be some fantastic prizes involved. All right. Other than that, we shall have a Google Hangouts to discuss this a little bit further, where we'll also show off what a putt-putt boat is and how it does work. I have my whole issue with Google sorted out now, so that will be no problems with the host on my channel.
Yeah, and I got to make sure that I get my mic so I ain't feeding back on you guys next time.
Yeah, no worries.
I rent that video.
All good. And I've got to get sort of a little bit more used to how to operate Google Hangouts as well, but that's all good. All will come with time. So we'll do that after I've spoken with a couple of people and we've arranged some prizes, so within the next week or two. And... yeah, have I missed anything there? Was there anything else I should have jotted down?
No, I think you pretty much covered it well. So using some mad scientists, some redneck scientists, some high-tech terminology scientists with all kinds of calculations and ciphering and using calculus and algebra and all those other fancy maths. Dublin's going to do the numbers on his side, and I'm going to do my redneck calculations with the stick, the string, and the pinky finger, and maybe possibly a tape measure. And we're going to see whose pop-pop boat can go where and when and how. What do you think?
Yep. On to a winner.
Yep.
So it sounds like fun. Dublin, you still there? You got to unmute your mic, brother. All right, well...
How about you, Muddy? You still there, Muddy?
Muddy's here.
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I didn't want you to, you know, go off crying after I got after you there.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, honey.
Kate, we all just get along.
I want you to kiss and make up.
Peace and love and all that.
Talking, brother. It's the cocky talking.
All right, so this is exciting. I can't wait to get started on this deal. We haven't really figured out a timeline for the end of the deal, but I'd kind of like to push it forward, which means a whole lot of extra work for all of us. So, if you want to stretch it out, then just say the word. Speak now or forever hold your peace.
Well, I don't know. It
could be kind of a semi-complicated build, so we may... And not only that, a lot of places are, like, going to be covered in ice pretty soon.
Oh, yeah, you're right, too. So we might have to stretch it out.
Yeah, we might have to be talking, like, next spring before we can... which is fine, you know, that gives plenty of people plenty of time this winter to have a little project to work on in their garage or whatever, so...
Yeah, and if you could build an icebreaker pop-pop, that would be really good. Melt it and crush it as you go. Make snow cones in the back.
What month would you be talking about there? When's spring over there?
About your fall?
Yeah.
That might
about the time it's fall for you, it's spring for us. It's you know, that transitionary thing between your winter and our summer.
So, run outside. Oh. If it's terrible weather on your side, chances are it's pretty decent on ours.
Nah, mate. If there's terrible weather here, who knows what's happening there? Because it's only terrible weather here for like 15 minutes, and then the sun comes back out.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're in Australia. You live in the tropics, man.
No. I love the advertisement around the world for Australia. Guys, it does rain in Australia quite frequently.
Oh, yeah, but it goes up.
Just where I am and in the more northern part of Australia, it doesn't rain all that often. But there is plenty of places in Australia where it buckets down and it's moist and yucky and, yeah.
Hey, Muddy, do you have them giant cactuses that look like they have the outstretching arms in Texas?
Oh, that's a saguaro cactus. West Texas, you start seeing a few of them. You might see one over here.
Well, the reason why...
You're talking about Arizona. Arizona's got to look like a bunch of... You can put hats on them and guns in their hands, and they look like gunfighters on the horizon.
Yeah, do we have any friends in Arizona?
No, not here on the ham radio I do, but not, I don't know anybody in Arizona.
Well, get on the horn and call somebody up in Arizona on the ham radio and have them post one of those over to Cultus's house, because he said all they got is like tumbleweeds where he's at. They don't have cactuses.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You can't post those things. First off, they're protected. Second off, they're 8 feet in diameter, and some of them are 30 or 40 feet tall.
And really hard to carry and package.
And not only that, but very, very much, Dave, they make it past Australian customs.
They're a plastic, heavy-duty bag.
All right, well, let's build a trebuchet and launch one over to him. All right, I'm just trying to help.
I'll just bring one over there. She says, and you guys can wire it. Air it over there.
I'm just trying to help a brother out. He don't have none of them, man.
Did you really say put it on a trebuchet and flip it to him?
Yeah.
that trebuchet would have to be so big that the Earth's axis would tilt a few degrees off when you launched it.
Yeah, you kind of got to launch it into one quarter orbit and let it come back down.
It'd be smoking when it lands in his yard.
They'd be thinking, oh, it's just a space shuttle again. Or no, Skylab, that's what it is. Skylab, another chunk of Skylab.
Well,
at least you went past our customs.
Well, yeah, Cultus, if you start having cactuses coming out of the air, it's not the apocalypse. We're just trying to send you one.
To blame. We do have one cactus out here, and that's the prickly pear.
I heard you can get water out of those.
It's the one with the big, round, flat leaves.
You can peel them and eat them.
Yeah, it has like the purple fruit on it, but they're actually trying to eradicate it from the area, which I don't understand. Mother Nature wants it here. Why are we getting rid of it?
Yeah,
because it's not natural to Australia. It's something some American brought over. I'm betting.
Ah, right.
Okay, that's a little frustrating there. You're telling me I can't. You're telling me I can't trebuchet over a huge cactus and make it past customs, but they were able to smuggle in one of those?
No, I'm not saying you can't. You could do it. You could do it. Just do it in like 1823, okay? take it over there in 1823. You'll be good. It'll be golden.
Yeah, mate. I don't believe it. Ask you what it is.
All right, there we go. We got a plan.
All we got here is the Mickey Mouse cactus, Mickey Mouseier cactus. They call them prickly pears, and they got a breed of them that don't even have thorns on them. They got little small ones, but they're. The thing is, man, you basically catch them the young ears when they're like about 6 inches or so, or 5 inches, and you cut those off, and then you just kind of slice them up like string beans, and you put them on. But you got to, yeah, I mean, you got to peel them. But they're like a mix between probably okra and string beans. But if you cook them up right, man, I mean, they ain't slimy, they ain't nothing, but they're good.
Well, I don't know about the whole peeling. I don't know about the whole peeling thing. I don't know if I want to try to peel a cactus.
Wear gloves.
Do you use a pare knife?
Yeah.
Filleting knife, just...
Yeah, just try gloves. Spots where the things come out and cook them up. They're pretty good.
But I'm not talking rubber gloves. I'm talking like leather, you know, good deer hide gloves.
With some of them old chain mesh gloves too, shark proof. Mm-hmm.
No,
I don't know. I don't think you need the chain mail. I think you just need some really good, you know, farmhand leather gloves. And you know, a pair of knife and peel them up and just eat them. Chomp them up. Yum. You don't even have to cook them.
Right. All right. You get more vitamins that way.
I just don't know about the whole scene, so... Anyway...
Girl, have you ever had a kiwi?
Yeah, those are pretty good.
Okay, that's a cactus.
Really?
Yes.
Then the kiwi fruit, the, like... brown furry thing with the green insides.
Yeah, that's a cactus.
Cactus is good food.
Alright, so we've learned something here today. How to peel and cook a cactus, or not cook it and eat it raw.
Well, yeah, like if you're out in the desert, you come across some of those prickly pears, man, you're thirsty, there's a ton of water in them, and they're good nutritional values. Just stop and peel them up and eat them.
Yeah, but proceed with caution. Proceed with caution before you're going up trying to suck the water out of a cactus.
That brings up a bad picture.
You always got to check the hole. You always got to check the hole in the old oak tree first, too. Right.
All right. So our conversation just went. We're back to pop boats again. Anybody?
Do we need a drawing on the graph?
Yeah.
Our conversation is degraded in the last hour.
Hey, I didn't say anything.
All right.
Okay.
So. All right.
Did I use any cuss words?
No, he didn't. He's fine.
No.
Pop boats. So we're going to make a man-size one. We're going to make a generating pop using a pop contest. I got a headache. Somebody else talk. Just keep it PG rated.
Happy birthday, Shaziz.
Thank you.
I think a happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Shaziz. Happy birthday to you.
Yay!
Now blow the candles out.
Yeah. Not in this lab. There might be some hydrogen.
Wife didn't enjoy it with you. That's
right. All right. So, we covered a lot of ground here, man. Do we have any save the world solutions now?
Yeah. Don't fight.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good start. So if I launch a using the trebuchet that's going to knock us off our Earth axis, if I launch a cactus over there to Australia, will that start a war with Australia?
Well, I don't know. I don't think so.
That's good, because I heard from a friend of mine who's also in Australia that there's these things called drop bears, and I wouldn't want you launching none of those this way.
Hey, I've warned this before, man. You got to be careful of drop bears, you know. I got that picture on my Weeblings page there. You should all take these, man. He's running out of eucalyptus, man. You know what that means.
You're talking about a koala?
Well, all I know is my...
You don't know the drop bear story, Ken?
No, I don't know the drop bear story.
Drop bears. Well, mate, you've got to be careful as an American tourist coming over to Australia. Or a tourist from any country, for that matter. There's koalas, but then there's drop bears, mate. And these drop bears, they hide up in the trees, and they wait for poor, unsuspecting tourists to walk along underneath them. And they drop down on their heads and start gnawing on their brains, mate.
Man, see, that's what
the internet tells me. That's what the internet tells me. It must be true.
That's what my friend Remedy said, and he's from Australia.
I thought they were going to drop something else, like a monkey.
Well, I don't think it's legal to throw monkeys.
Depends how nautical miles offshore you are.
Oh, okay. So we got drop bears throwing monkeys. We got Trebuchet throwing cactuses. And in meantime, we got Muddy over there saying, don't fight.
Okay. That's it.
Is that our plan to save the world?
We don't want to fight. You know, it's like they say, you know, look, I don't know where you are in the world, and I don't know you. I don't hate you. I don't fear you. I know you don't want to hurt me. I don't hate you, kid, because I don't know you, kid. And I know you don't hate my kid. Nobody wants to just go out there and just, you know, look, they'd rather be at peace or peaceful, you know. But there's always somebody up above who say, you have to. Please volunteer. Help us. We're in trouble. And they make lies so you can sit, you know, so you can believe what they got. And it's all a cleverly devised scheme to just play with your money and everybody else's money in the world while they're fighting over their little kingdoms. And look, I say put them all in the middle of a doggone ball field, right in the middle of a big old football stadium, so they can't get out. Put them all in there, let them fight, and sell the tickets for $2,000 a piece, and we'll raise it for straightening up the extra garbage that they messed up.
So, well, you wouldn't even need to charge an entry fee, Muddy, because as soon as you had them all inside that arena, and remove the budget for war, we would save the planet in a day.
Yeah.
Well, you got a point.
And if they took what they spend over there, in the Middle East, per 2 days would cover all the solar panels and all the wind generators and apparatus that it takes to power the whole United States. And we're only second to electrical use as China.
You know, you guys hit on some key points right there. I never really even thought about that, but you're right. If they was to, instead of diverting the funds over and blast somebody back into the Stone Age, take them funds and put solar panels on everybody's roof and stop complaining about the so-called energy crisis.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's like you say, if the government was interested in our welfare, and all the things would have been taken care of, they'd have done it by now.
Yeah, I say the same thing when they talk about, every time I see a commercial on TV and they talk about starving babies around the world, there's no reason for it, man. There's just no excuse for it. It's been over at least 30, 40 years of my life I've been seeing the same commercials. So, you know, if they cared about humanity, you take those forces and instead of going over there blasting people into the Stone Age, take some food over and feed some people, you know? Put a shirt on somebody's back or a blanket or a pillow under their head, you know?
That's right. Love conquered. But, go ahead, cultist. I'm sorry.
That's all right, buddy. You know, I mean, it's a sheer case of give a brother a shirt program, isn't it? You know? If you've got something, you know, an excess of something, and you see somebody without, then there should be no question. You should be helping them. You know?
Yeah, just the same as you feed your animals before you eat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know? It boggles my mind to try and understand how some people, because it's not just the elite who behave like this. There is a lot of the general public who behave in that manner as well, where they'd rather just turn a blind eye and ignore what's going on with less fortunate, and just continue on with their own little merry lives, and do quite all right for themselves, and they are in a position to help out minimalistically or in a bigger way, but they choose not to. Just purely because I'm comfortable in my life. I don't want to associate with someone like that. I don't, people don't become who they are. Through just being born evil or being born an idiot, or people are conditioned into how they are and how they behave and where they've gotten to in their lives. I'm sure that every single person that lives on the streets didn't get there because they woke up one morning living in a mansion and thought, I'm sick of this, screw it, I'm going to bloody go live on a street corner.
Well, as I sit around and I listen to the wisdom and the good hearts coming around this round table, like you said, man, it's mind-boggling to realize that we still have stupidity going on in the world. I know there's got to be more people like us around the world, It's got to be.
Can only hope.
And, as
far as... There's a lot of stupidity going on in the world.
As far as the average Joe thinking that they're powerless to do anything, if you do something in your own general neighborhood, you're doing something. Maybe some buddy down the street, some old guy that hurt his back, can't mow his lawn. You go down there and lend him a hand, Or you see some homeless person, you give him some food, you give him a shirt, Point him in the right direction to some help or something. That's not powerless. That's powerful, You can actually do something. You can actually make a difference and starting in your own world. And I always say, throw the positive pebble in the pond. It sends the ripples out everywhere.
It doesn't take much at all to spend $5 on a sandwich and a coffee and just hand it to someone who looks really desperate.
And if you ever want to do something nice, I've done this once in a while, and it's not about tooting my own horn because I don't want any credit for it, but every time, if I go to the store and I'm feeling like blessed or something, I got some extra funds and I got all my bills paid and I have the capability of doing so, I might drop a little bit of extra cash right there on the counter and tell the lady at the counter that to divide it up amongst the people following behind me and help pay for their groceries or something,
Yeah.
And that's a good thing to do. And you walk away, they don't know who you are. They don't know why you did it, but it sends a ripple out there, and they walk away with a good feeling, Somebody that I didn't even know did something nice for me.
Yeah.
So to me, it's worthwhile. Every step you make,
you are personally helping restore a little bit of faith in humanity.
Yeah, that person behind you may have been short and couldn't afford something that they needed, so they picked the most important thing that they needed, and maybe did without something else, and you just made it possible for them to be able to afford that something else.
Could be an even bigger ripple than that. It could be someone who, is down in the dumps and assumes that, not a solitary person in the world gives a flying cahoot about them, and all of a sudden, bang, the groceries just got paid for a percentage off.
Yeah, just walk up to somebody and say, "Hey, man, you got change for 100? No. Thanks for the compliment, though. No. Okay, then, here. Yeah.
Just
give them 100.
I sat in a restaurant one day, and there was this elderly couple sitting across from me, and I was watching this elderly couple. They were sitting there, and they were saying their prayers before their dinner, their thanks and all that. And I visualized myself and my wife being their age, and knowing that I would be on a limited budget or whatever. And so I called the waitress over, and I told her, I said, "You see that couple over there?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, don't say anything, but whenever you get ready for their bill, tell me how much it is because I want to buy their meal for them." And she recruited one of the waiters into the deal, and my daughter was there with me and asked me what I was doing. And I told her, I said, "We're going to pay for that couple's food over there right before we leave." And so... here's an elderly couple over there giving thanks for what they were getting ready to have their dinner and all that, and then somebody, just total stranger, p- pays for their meal. Could you imagine the feeling that those individuals got out of that deal? I mean, it's heartwarming, you know, and it didn't affect me any, you know. I wasn't wanting credit for it or anything. I just wanted to make somebody's day. You know, we go through our days, every one of us have our own burdens to bear and our own, you know, problems in life. But if every day somebody does something nice for somebody without any want of any return, you know, it kind of brings us back to the selfless act there, cultists. You remember that conversation?
Yeah, I'll never forget that conversation.
Well, here's something for y'all. That's about 2 years ago, maybe 2.5 years ago. This guy on YouTube contacted me. He says, I see you doing a lot of good things for people. And I want to help you out. He said, give me your address. And I gave him my address. I got a check in the mail along with a note that says, don't thank me, thank God, and don't tell anybody. It was a rather large sum to buy tools and whatever to help straighten things out and get things rolling. I was dumbfounded. I just looked at my wife. Look, I was up on a ladder doing some drywall, and my wife come running up the driveway. She left her car at the bottom. She come running in, tears in her eyes. I opened it. I didn't read it, so I opened it up, and then I told her the amount, and she liked to hit the floor.
Well, you know something, awesome, guys? That's an awesome story.
Cry.
That happens more often than you think, too.
Each and every one of us. Each and every one.
Be grateful for. Sorry, Jesus.
Each and every one of us, regardless of whether we've realized it at the time, have been blessed in some way, you know. Just the mere fact that we're sitting here with one another and able to share these stories with people is a blessing as far as I'm concerned. And not just the people around the world, you know, one another from different states and different countries. It's an amazing thing to me, you know. There's been times when some of my friends out here have been depressed, and I just show up just at the right time, and I cheer them up, or vice versa. I'm depressed, and they show up at the right time. Those are little things that sometimes the average Joe just kind of overlooks, you know. There's a whole lot of blessings in life. And so by throwing those positive ripples out there in the pond, you know, heck, throw them by the fistful. If you can do it, throw it by the boulders, you know.
Yep.
Because that's the only way we're going to make the world a better place, is by us doing it. What do you guys think?
No, that's true, mate. That's true. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, the more proactive we are, the more we stir up other people to be proactive, you know. It may not be an instantaneous ripple, but it will. It will ripple on. It will continue on down the line and encourage others to do similar work, you know, and do similar favors for other people.
And, you know, this radio show, you know, it means a lot to me, because it's my method by which I can try to help some individuals out, you know, give them ideas on alternative energy. And man, you guys have put so much towards this show and all the different networks. There's a lot of work that goes behind the scenes that's not noticed, you know. And when Cultist puts together a deal like on Google Hangouts or whatever, a lot of work goes into that, you know. And my buddy Kent, he read out something that I wrote, and he did it in such an eloquent manner. I mean, it's just, I'm amazed every time I listen to it. And Muddy, he's... Huh?
He's good.
Yeah, he is. I told him he should be able to earn a living doing that, because the man's got an awesome voice.
I did, too. I think he ought to be doing streams in the desert.
But we got Muddy over there. He's showing people how to make actual flux generators and Stirling engines out of coffee cans, and taking his time out to do radio shows to try to shout it to from a mountain. He's still shouting it. I listen to his radio show all the time, and he's still shouting. The man's got a heart of gold. I'm telling you, I love him to pieces. And my friend Dublin over there, he's in Spain, man. He's a wealth of knowledge, you know. He wants to use the high-tech calculator, and I want to use the string and duct tape and stick to do my ciphering, but you guys see what's going on here? We've got an amazing, and I mean an amazing, group of individuals coming from all over the world trying to make a better world for everybody. So there's not one valueless individual in my mind in this group or in the audience or in the world as far as that goes. If you think that you ain't got no power, listen to what's going on right here, man. I mean, we're getting out there. We're getting some positive information out there. And to me, you know, it's not a waste of time. You still there, Kent?
And if it isn't positive, let's hope that it's at least entertaining.
Yeah.
Maybe we put a smile on somebody's face.
Laughter's good medicine.
Sure. The best medicine.
Okay, guys. I got to jump out, so I'm going to bid you all adieu and go, and I'll talk to y'all a little bit later.
Arrivederci.
All right. Thanks again, Kent. Take care, brother.
You bet. You betcha. Happy birthday. See you later, buddy. See you, Dublin.
All right, take care, Ken. Any good things to you and yours. God bless.
Thank you, Ken.
Yeah.
Good luck, Ken. Actually, guys, I'm going to pull out as well, so I'll catch you next week.
All right, stop.
All right, thanks, Dublin.
Yeah.
So,
no bro. Ciao.
So it's down. It's down to the three stooges here. I think, Cultus, are you still alive? Do we need to take a break and so you can get some coffee?
That sounds like a plan, mate.
All right, well, I'll throw on a tune. Go ahead, buddy.
Shout It From the Mountain for a second first. Shout It From the Mountain 24 at gmail.com. If there's anything you'd like to say to the whole world, you shout it from the mountain. The mountain is the Shaziz Radio Network. Will be read out on the air, and if possible, be made into an MP3. I've turned a few in there.
And we need to get those up on the Auto DJ as well so people can hear them 24/7.
Basically still in the deal. So, Shout It From the Mountain 24 at gmail.com. I come on it.
I know that there's a lot of people listening via their mobile devices, maybe on the road or maybe out at work or something like that. But if you can get over to ShazizRadio.com. We'll post the email address in the chat room, and if you got something you want to say and you can't say it right now, write it down or remember it and ship it over to the email address so Muddy or one of us can read it out over the air so that you can actually be heard.
Yeah, and Shout It From the Mountain 24 at gmail.com. You can send MP3s or you can send just a link to a video. Shout out to the world. The Shaziz Radio Network is your mountain. It's your chance to say anything that you'd like to the world. And, I mean, you got to keep in mind that it's to the world, okay? So we're not going to try to, you know, no racial, I hate Islam. You know, well, it's a message of love, peace, something to help the world, something that you can contribute. And, I mean, it doesn't even have to be much. It's more like, I love this, thank you, that you guys are doing a great job, I think the world should be in peace, or no more war, not on my time, not on my dollar, not on my planet, you know?
Yeah.
Just a message of love. Shout It From the Mountain 24 at gmail.com, or over there with Shaziz, say that again.
A positive pebble of peace, hope, and love, man.
That's right.
All right, well, we're going to play a couple tunes there so everybody can take a breather, and then we'll be back. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table, which is your platform, so you're always welcome to come up and be an honorable knight. Just by showing up in the chat room, you become an honorary knight of the round table, and throwing links in there of good information to share with people to make the world a better place. That's what it's all about. This is your platform. Use it, people. Peace and love. We're going to play some tunes and we'll be back.
In constant sorrow all through his days, I am a man of
fine. For in this world I'm bound to ramble, I have no friends to help me now. He has no friends to help him now. Perhaps I'll die upon this train. Perhaps he'll die upon this train. You can bury me in some deep valley. For many years where I may lay. Sleeping in my grave, while he is sleeping in his grave. Maybe your friends think I'm just a stranger. My face you never will see no on God's golden shore. He'll meet you on God's golden shore.
I were the devil. If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. And I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. Thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, Our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies, and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
Give the heavens above more than just a passing love.
ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance.
Together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us from every nation come together and make that future a great one.
Hello everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table with old King Shaziz the Terrible, and Kent had to go on about his business and so did Devlin, so we're left here with Honorable Knight Cultus and Honorable Knight Muddy Mudman. And so with that said, you know, I was just thinking something as I was listening to some of the music we were playing. The three of us are truly blessed, man. We've got some really beautiful, wonderful ladies that are our wives. And, you know, I want to give a shout out to my wife, Beverly. You know, she's a spectacular lady and is a huge blessing in my life that took me down a better road. And I'm just truly thankful for her. I'm truly thankful for every morning being able to wake up and have a good old hug from my wife, and you know, the things that times we share together. You know, these are the blessings that we've been given, and I know that somewhere in each and every one of your lives, you've been blessed as well. You know, I want to give a shout out to my mother because she's the most wonderful lady in the world to me. You know, it's just, you know, we got this platform. We're going to throw as many positive pebbles in the pond that we got, that we can. And every once in a while, we just need to remember the blessings. What do you think, Cultus?
Well, I totally agree with you, mate. I have a wonderful family around me. My blood family does not have any contact with me. My father passed away a couple of years ago, and he was pretty much the only part of my blood family who had any time for me. And when he passed away, that was pretty much it. My sister, my mother, my cousins, and aunties and uncles, and all of those, because I was a bit of a terror as a child. Mind you, a child, you know, I'm now 30 years old. I think I deserve another chance about now. But, you know, whatever. You know, if it wasn't for my wife's family, for Catherine's family, I'd have no one. And I am truly blessed to have such wonderful people to take me under their arm. And, you know, they give us a place to live. Very, very supportive of the work I do, which, you know, most other people, as you know, would probably just think I'm insane. These guys have faith in me that I am going to do something wondrous, you know, or at least put the solid effort in to try, you know. So let me know that if it wasn't for these people that I have around me, and that extends to all of you guys as well who support me. Yeah, I don't know where my life would be today. I really don't. I think where my life was before I met Catherine, it could be a very, very horrible situation as opposed to what it is. And what it is something absolutely fantastic that I could never have dreamed of having any other part of my life. So,
well, brother, the main thing is you recognize that you are truly blessed. And to me, family resides in the heart. And that's what makes us family. You and me and Muddy and Kent and Dublin and everybody else. You know, that's where family is. Family resides in the heart. What do you think, Muddy?
Yeah.
I think the Shaziz Radio Network is a family. Even with all the way on out to Awake, and you get out to your farther cousins way out there, you know, We Roar and all them other good stations to spread peace, hope, and love across the world. We band it together, advertise together, whatever we can to help each other. And, I mean, that's family. That's wonderful. And I know exactly what Cultus is saying. And, yeah, great. I mean, you're definitely blessed, Bub. And I'm happy to hear it. I'm happy to hear that, for sure. But yeah, when you got, you spend most of your life trying to please your parents. And then after you grow up and you're out of their house, you please yourself a little and you go back and you try to please them. And, and that's what you spend your life doing. Everybody likes being appreciated. And I'll tell you what, what do they call it? In football, they got cheerleaders. Well, if we had grump leaders, we wouldn't win no games. But cheerleaders win the game. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you just put all that negative energy into the air and nothing happens. Nothing happens.
Well, brother, you're truly blessed too. You got a wonderful wife.
Oh, yeah, I got a wonderful wife. And I tell you what, we went to that La Quinceañera last night, the Mexican equal to the Bar Mitzvah. And I tell you what, that's been party down. I mean, it's as the girl comes of age. I think the Mexicans are actually Jewish, most of them anyway, because they got they work with stone, they build with rock. I mean, and they carve and they do all that stuff. It's the same thing as the Hebrews, and they said they were scattered abroad. And as you find out, actually about 3/4 of the Mexicans are Jewish.
Well,
I got a friend of mine. I go, hey, what's up? You my favorite Jew. But the whole thing is, you know, they're blessed. Those are God's people. They had the La Quinta last night. Man, my wife was decked out. I said, holy moly. I even got her on camera going. She just smiled. She had that princess thing in her hair, and it was just sparkling. And I said, ooh. Yeah. May tonight. I'll tell you what. I'm blessed to have her, and she stands behind me. She stands with me. We've been thick and thin. I mean, yeah, she's the best lesson I've ever had. She becomes your family in a way.
You know, so, guys, I just think that we're all truly blessed, and I think that what we're doing with the blessings that we have been given is we're doing things like Shaziz Radio and Awake Radio and No Borders and all the different networks. We are actually out here trying to share some of the blessings that we've got, you know. Like I said, a lot of work goes in behind the scenes in order to put these radio shows together and YouTube videos and all this kind of stuff. But to us, I would say, at least me, and I'm pretty sure you both agree, it's a passion of the heart, man. We do this because we love this thing, and the fact that we've got family behind us that are willing to back us and support us in our efforts, knowing what the ultimate goal is, to throw the positive pebbles out in the pond and make the world a better place. To me, that stands as a testament of what a true family is, you know. And what else can I say, you know? What do you think, Coltis?
Yeah, no, that's it, Michael, man. How to put it? We're truly lucky to have each other, you know. And there is love amongst all of us. If anything happened to any one of us, everyone else would be worried. Everyone else would feel it.
Well, and that's a connection that you can't you can't just pass off as just, you know, somebody you once knew. You know, it's a family, and that's what I wanted from Shaziz Radio. I wanted that family. I wanted that feeling. I wanted everybody out there, the listeners, the people behind the scenes, the host. I wanted everybody to understand what we have at our disposal. We have the most amazing gift given to us right now. We have the most amazing opportunity to reach out and touch the people of the world and try to put good information, try to make their lives a little bit better, try to ease the burdens that we all have to go through, you know. We all have problems, but with each other's help, And just so much as a kind word, a laughter from Muddy, or, you know, a good bit of information from Coltis. I mean, if you've paid any attention to what's going on here on the Knights of the Round Table, I'll throw something out there. Coltis has already got it up on Google and more information ready. Or Muddy, he already knows about something, and he's throwing the information out there. This is free information going around to the world. It's all from the heart. It's a work of love, and by gosh, we got to keep this rolling. Tell your friends on Facebook and YouTube and all your different social networks out there. Tell them to come over and crowd this chat room up, you know, and start talking amongst each other, finding ideas and solutions, and we'll keep doing what it is that we're doing. We just want to know you're there. We just want to know you're listening. We want to hear your shout from the mountain. We want to hear your words. We want you to be part of the deal. We want you to actually call in on Skype and become part of the Knights of the Round Table. This is your platform. Muddy says it all the time. This isn't for us. This is for the people of the world. This is our family in every nation.
Okay.
Sorry, guys, we got some dead air.
Here's a mountain.
I got a bit choked up there.
That's all right, brother.
Yeah, Shaziz Radio Network is your mountain to shout it from. So, yeah, come on, join aboard. Be heard, contribute, enjoy. Take the potato off the couch and put it in the pot, in other words.
Yeah. The dream is worthy. The dream is definitely worthy.
Just wish you could be heard, and and then the opportunity comes around, do you jump or do you let it pass you by?
Yeah.
Don't let it pass you by. I mean, just shout it from the mountain 24@gmail.com. Just type in what you want to say, and we'll get it on the air. Or you can come, like Shazam said, just join Knights of the Round Table. All you got to do is throw in a request and, join and let's enter your stuff there. You might even pop you up here on the air live. If you're frolic enough for that, that's fun.
If you don't...
your voice heard, what, MP3 or YouTube video link, send it to us.
If you don't show up in Shaziz Radio chat room, show up at Wake Radio chat room. Show up at No Borders Radio chat room. All these folks out here are doing the same thing. They know there's problems in the world. They know there's solutions out there. And they're willing to spend the time that it takes to send these ideas and solutions around the world. No Borders is sharing information with us. Awake Radio, sharing information with us. Everybody is continuously sharing information from all over the globe. This is a good thing we got going on. And we have to keep it going if we're going to make a difference in this world. That's how much more can you say about it?
Crickets.
Can't say much more than that.
I'm not any better than you did, mate.
Hey, he did wonderful. I love it. Coffee's working, that's for sure.
Well, happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday.
I'm 48 years old, man.
48 years young.
Happy birthday.
Oh, I hope you're right, brother. But I'm tell you what, the path that I took to get where I'm at right now, I was a wise guy in my youth, and I'm paying for it now, and I'm sure you guys can agree that you've been down the same kind of roads and feel the same kind of pains.
Yeah, the young folk don't realize that every time you get hurt and the hurt goes away, it comes back later.
Yeah, it's
so
added up. It's like a savings account.
Your body has a memory, and you'll remember later on through it.
Yep.
There's an analogy I really love. Now, if you take a sheet of paper, and you imagine that sheet of paper is somebody's emotional state, and you screw up that piece of paper like you're assaulting their worth. Now, flatten out that piece of paper. Explain to it that you're sorry. Try and make it feel better. Try and make it as perfect, you know, nice sheet of paper again that it once was. You never ever will. It will always have creases left in it, and that's the same. That's the same with a man's heart or a person's heart. You know?
Yeah, I agree, brother.
Then there's the thing about the rumors too. See, here's a deal. School teacher was seen coming out of a bar with a really sloshy looking broad hanging on him, and he got her in the car and drove off, and two of the kids in school saw it. That's high school.
Yep.
So the kids started talking about, yeah, I mean, he'd been there picking up sluts and blah blah blah. She was plowed, and so it almost lost his job.
Yep.
So the teacher and the principal got the two kids down at the office and told them what was actually happened. They said, we're sorry. We didn't mean to start all this, blah, blah, blah. So the principal took an ashtray out, clean ashtray, and he lit a book of matches, lit the whole thing up. Then he, after it went out, he dumped it on the carpet and stuck his foot on it. He said, okay, you said you're sorry. Now go back and pick up all the pieces and make it like it never happened.
Yep.
That means, so the kids tried, did everything they could, go around, tell everybody, no, it was this, you know. But you can't spread out, you know, wife is a drunk and goes on binges. So you're still doing more damage. It's kind of hard to get them ashes out of the carpet. What's done is can't be completely undone.
Yeah, and that's a testament. My wife did a show about words having power yesterday, and, believe it or not, folks, you guys you have more power than you can possibly imagine. I say this over and over again. You got the power of the spoken word. You got the power of the pen. You got the power of your actions. And the ripples that you send in the pond, they literally make a difference. They will determine the future of your family and the future of your friends. And just by sitting by and not doing anything, not trying to make a difference, it's a waste. Because you got the power to actually make a difference in the world. You got the power to make the world a better place. And another thing that I say a lot is that we are the founding fathers, the mothers, the sisters, the brothers, aunts, uncles, cousins of our children and our children's future. And what we do with that today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. I personally want my grandchildren to live in a good world. Maybe it won't reach the levels of a utopia, you know. Maybe it won't reach heaven on earth. But it's one goal that's worth striving for. If we could bring about heaven on earth here in our lifetime or in our children's lifetime, that would be a valuable and a valiant effort that would be talked about for generations after, you know. It's a good idea. What do you think, Coltish?
Ah, mate, you're dead right in every conceivable way on that.
Well, you know, baby steps is what it's going to take. We didn't get in the world that we're in today. We didn't get there overnight. It's happened. It's been a long road to get where we're at now. And yeah. So, in order to turn this big ship around and send it off into the right direction that we should have been going in all along as humanity, it's going to take a little bit at a time. You know, it'd be nice if we could just snap our fingers and it's all done and we have heaven on earth. But we've been given so many gifts, so much capabilities, and especially this time here and now with access to the internet and being able to reach across the international boundaries to our brothers and sisters around the world. This is an amazing time, and we should use this amazing time and these amazing gifts to do something good. You know, the pyramids, the builders of the pyramids, they built some buildings that stood the test of time. Your average house today, you know, 100 years from now, may not be standing. But somebody in our history took the time to build something that would say, hey, we were here. And we can build those kind of deals right now. And I'm not talking about a physical building. I'm talking about sending the world off into a direction by which they say, they look back at our history right now. You remember those crazy guys that used to be on the internet way back when, before it was all like all laser, digital, whatever, you know, back in when they actually had to have wires hooked to their computer and stuff? Remember the crazy stuff that they were talking about trying to do for the world? Well, they did it. Here we are. You see what I'm saying?
Wouldn't that be an awesome legacy to leave behind for our kids and our grandkids, mate?
It would be spectacular, brother. You know, none of us know how much longer we've got left here on this earth. You know, but to me, what we do with the time that we do have is the most important. You know, we've all three of us that's left here on the nights today, we've had our rowdy times. We've had the times when we just kind of bucked the system and did whatever, and here we are now, wiser, years later, and actually realizing that we got to do something, you know? We can't just sit idly by and watch the world continue to deteriorate while our supposed elected representatives around the world are doing the trash that they do. We've got to try to steer the boat for our children. And you know, our children are important. They're like the future of humanity. They are the gold. And they're worth doing something good for. Anybody disagree with that?
Not at all, mate. on this. Not at all. Heck, if you disagree with that.
Well,
that would take us kind of stupid, I think.
I think
the ground around you soaks, your land, everything soaks up the mind of the people. And just like you go up to Winston-Salem, I tell you what, man, that ground is saturated with negative. And the same thing over in over there in Virginia, up around Old Courthouse way, up that way, and Gloucester especially. Oh, my goodness. Gloucester's, you can feel it in the ground. So I'm saying the things that you actually either poison the earth spiritually or to help the world. I think the good things you do for people helps. You know, it takes a lot of drops to fill a glass, but more people are putting drops in that glass, the faster that glass fills up with, you know, something good to drink. So, I mean, the earth is a living thing. And it needs healing. There's a lot of negative thought out there, and it's thing tearing us up. You got the people on top that's saying, okay, well, there's too many people. Yeah, we have wars, but nobody, you know, we aren't losing that many. We aren't losing that many people. So, oh yeah, well, we got to keep the nations trimmed down so they take turns killing you know, just so they can be up on top and soak every bit of money that they can possibly soak out of us and keep us living. Now they're. You know, you look around and everything's trying to kill us off. So, well, there's a war going on. So how do you think? Yeah, so we got tornadoes and earth, and it's all written down in Revelation, and it follows it to the T all the way. Revelation is a history book for the future. So, I mean, anything that you can do for somebody, and you will get rewarded. I mean, even like when I was in the taxi. Had my friend Ozzy with me, Harold Osborne, and he was amazed. Guy came up there and said, "Look, man, I need dog food and I need milk and for the baby and here's $5." And Ozzy, as the guy walked away, Ozzy looked. He said, "That was your last $5." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Kind of slow day, ain't it?" And he says, "Yeah." And then my phone rang. I got a trip to Norfolk Airport, $36. Hmm. And he said, "Yeah, that works." I said, "Yeah." sometimes it isn't always immediate, but you always do get back what you put into it.
Yeah.
You give and give and give, and
you know,
you have more. The more you give, the more you get.
Muddy, you were saying the earth needs healing, and I agree with you, and I believe that the people need healing too, because, you know, we've seen a lot of terrible...
Well, we've all had our artwork wrinkled up like Cultus was saying.
Yeah, we have. And I believe that what we're doing right here is starting that process and getting the world to healing. And I think that if we keep this going, if you don't like our network, then make your own network. Make your own circle and get people doing something positive, you know. The more positive pebbles thrown out there, we don't care whether it's on Shazoo's Radio or Wake Radio or We Roar or... No Borders or any of the other networks out there, you know. Build your own network. Start your own local community. Get your ideas and your information and your positive pebbles flowing on a daily basis, man. You can't go wrong, because what's the worst case scenario? You wasted your time because the whole world went to heck in a handbasket. We got somebody else joining us in here. Let me see if I can get them.
Righty.
Yeah, just follow your dreams.
Add to your group.
Look, there's 90% of the dreams out there never get acted upon. And the deal is, sometimes you just got to say, damn the torpedoes.
Can you
act on your dream?
Do you have Jock Gibson on your Skype?
No.
Nobody.
Now, let me see. Let me see if I can add him in here. We're running short on time. I don't know how to do this because he's calling from somewhere else.
You are. It should be able to, should be not the answer button, but there should be one that says add to group.
Yeah, well, it didn't give me that option.
Oh.
I'm gonna
try. I was saying, get on your get after the
paused screen. Himself. Come on, mate.
All right,
hang on.
Did we get him in there?
Yep. You turn your VO on, did you?
No, I didn't mean to.
There.
Right, that's what was going on.
Can you see in the chat room? Can you add him in there?
I got to contacts, and then if he accepts that, I can add him to group call. Here we go. Jockey Gibson. Nope. Hung up on me. Can't be until they accept my contact request.
I guess he has to accept mine, too, because I'm on the program. Does that affect...
As soon as he accepts it, I can drop him in.
Well, we're down to the last 6 minutes. I hope he does it quick. Anyway.
Try. Accept that invite, brother. From Cultus Negrep.
I'll send him a message.
I've plenty of time with a little bit of my music.
Doggone it.
Everybody's got a dream out there, and the thing is, if you act on your dream, you're doing the thing that you want, and that way you're not wasting what you succeed or fail. Damn the torpedoes, just go for it. Do something good for the world. You've got a lot of dreams that pop in your head, just act. And if you want to relay your dream, that'd be sweet too. Shout it from the mountain, 24@gmail.com. And with that, have we got Josh yet? No, our Jock.
No Jock yet.
Oh, well.
Anyway, we might run a bit over there. We're trying to get Jock on there so he can get his word in real quick before the Knights of the Round Table comes to an end there. He said he ain't got there yet. Ugh. All righty then.
He'll be set up for the next show.
Yeah.
Well, Jock, sorry you couldn't get in there. We're down to the last 4 minutes of the show, and so with that said, this is the time where we go around the table and let everybody have their last word, man. Make it short and sweet so we can get in under the time, because Michael's live mic is coming on after us, and we don't want to cut into his show too much.
All men are equal. All men are brothers. So why are the rich more equal than others? Don't ask me for answers. I only have one. That a man leaves his darkness when he follows the sun.
And how,
Austin Bow Wow. Muddy Muddy Mudman. Greenwind and Other Home Energies and Muddy Radio. On to you.
Cultus?
Howdy. So, just keep your eyes peeled on my YouTube channel during the week, which is Desert Experiment. YouTube.com/Desert Experimenter, and we'll be holding a Google Hangouts during the week to discuss a little bit more of this putt-putt competition, so pay attention
for
that, and we'll get it organized.
The putt-putt contest ought to be an exciting one. It'll all definitely be some humor in there, huh, brother?
Yep. Peace and love. And take care, and we'll see you during the week, and we'll see you back here next weekend, same time, same place, same channel.
Alright, and with that said, guys, live mic should be coming up next, and so with that going on, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Peace and love, everybody. Keep hope and faith and love alive, and don't forget to join us next week on the Knights of the Round Table. Stay tuned.
Woman. Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet!
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet! I order you to be quiet!
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routines in all the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam art. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off from bad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.